Hello again, and welcome to another episode of our podcast, Everyone Has a Story. It's the podcast that complements the two lifestyle magazines, In Noosa Magazine and Hello Sunshine. And if you'd like your brand, your business to be part of these exciting publications, reach out to our client service managers. You can communicate with us via Facebook and or Instagram. All right, on with today's episode. Today's guest on Everyone Has a Story was born in France. He's traveled the world and his passion for food has led him to our shores, where together with his partner Jimmy, they operate the much-talked-about Whiskey Boy on Gympie Terrace, Noosaville. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you do, leave us a review and rate the podcast and feel free to share it about on your socials. Everyone has a story, and today I'd like you to meet Geoffroy Marc.
Geoffroy?
But nobody can say that properly.
Do you want me to say that when I introduce you on the podcast?
Yeah, I may say in French, like do a French introduction.
Right?
Yeah,
Geoffroy.
Jeff would be easier.
Yeah.
That's my Aussie name for now.
tell me about where you grew up in France, because you know we all, especially now, we haven't travelled for a very long time. France is one of my favourite countries. I've been about three or four times. Watching a lot of French TV at the moment from. Call my agent to, there's another one there about a real estate family in Paris, but where did you grow up?
Well, all my family come from north in France, like proper Lille, Dunkirk, all very north, but when I was very young, maybe 3 or 4 months old, or something, all my family slowly moved down back to south. So I stopped a little bit in Orléans, but same, I was too young, and after I stayed for maybe 10 years in Saint-Étienne, next to Lyon, in the middle of France. And after we moved next to Nîmes, between Marseille and Montpellier, straight surf, next to the sea, beautiful city. And it's where I go for this next 10 years or something.
What was your family involved in? Was it hospitality? Not at all.
None of them were in hospitality. Dad done a few jobs. I didn't have business, was selling computers or little paperwork at the time, furniture. And after, mom was very busy with us. So I come from a big family. We're a family of six, and I
you
was
got five brothers.
I've got two sisters and three brothers.
Right.
So I don't know. Maybe that's why somewhere I'm in hospitality. Always like this big moment, sharing with other or something. And of course, from tradition or from culture, food was involved and was there all the time. And I always, by choice, was dedicated into the kitchen. Is I was just to cook or to prep or to do dishes or to go to the market or supermarket and helping. And I was just loving it. And really, we was like so busy. Imagine a family of six. Our parents was very busy working as well. So this weekend or this dinner, this moment was very important for us. That was this time we was kind of all talking. Talk about
Italians, where Sunday meal around pasta and whatever was always important. Is it the same in France?
Yeah, it's definitely the same. All this European culture, we like to talk about French and Italian, but I think it's all about Europe in general. And that was like this family time. Remember this like big dishes we're doing or use any...
What kind of dishes?
Well, so many.
Yeah.
It's going to be the paella. It's going to be some tartiflette, where we'll be a gratin from Alps. We're using a special cheese. It's going to be some choucroute. It's going to be, of course, this moule and frites, all this steak and any kind of product, bouillabaisse. Like, there's so many I could talk about all day.
Yeah.
And so was it, because you had such a big family, was it, did the responsibility fall on your shoulders to cook and provide the food for that family? Is that what you're saying?
Maybe not at the start, but when I was start my apprenticeship, they want to see what I was able to do, and I want to show as well at the same time when I was doing, and it just come natural. And it's funny to say, because I was preparing this little interview with my son yesterday, and he told me after, "Oh, Dad, your story sounds like a fairy tale." And somewhere
which bit? Let's get to the fairy tale.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. Like it was a very funny comment. And when I think about, I don't know, be a chef for me is maybe meant to be. Like all my life, start from very young, cooking and start my apprenticeship. I was in a kitchen maybe by 14 and a half, so I was very very young. But I started this apprenticeship with my first mentor, what I really want to mention, called Michel Kaiser. He got this restaurant in the same time I was going. And I find in this chef, in this person, this mentor, I was maybe needed at the time. And
how old were you? 14.
14 and a half,
wow.
15, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was, I was pretty lucky, I think, to knew by then what I want to do. So
Let's talk about that. Did you always have a passion for wanting to prepare food and work with food?
Yeah,
or
yeah,
was
always.
There something else when you were
no,
a kid?
No, always been there. As I think as young kids, you imagine maybe yourself as a fireman or a doctor or something, but I was like, love my food,
yeah.
Love healing and sourcing product or something, even if I was young. And once again, it's this culture and part of us. And when I was starting this apprenticeship, it was very hard at the time. Imagine like 14, 15 or 16, a little bit later on, long hours, was a fine dining with place, so finish very late. And was more this attitude, you know, you learn, and this mentality, you're growing up and you become maybe older,
yeah.
In a way too, by working with older people and get this discipline.
Yeah.
Like proper, like, I don't want to say military, but we'll be very close, especially by then and this type of restaurant. So you learn a lot. So I was
yeah.
very grateful. And maybe now if I can take a step back, I may will try to work even harder, because I made me a better chef now. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So yeah, it was very hard, but you learn so much. So yeah, it's very worth it.
Yeah. The attitude of Europeans and Italians, and I'm guessing the French, is the same to hospitality and food, and a career in hospitality is very different to Australia and America, where it's kind of a transitional kind of stage for a lot of people transitioning from university. But over there, it's a career. It's
yeah.
something that people, even just floor staff, you know, commit to for long periods of time, and they have an association with a particular brand or restaurant. Is that was clearly was the same for you, to make a commitment to work and learn and learn the skill and progress? What was your goal? Where did you want to get to? What did you want to do?
Well, it is definitely in Europe. I don't know from here. I don't want to compare too much, but it is definitely a passion. They come from a passion, and after you get this passion from people you're working with. And my goal was to be maybe as good, but don't want to say better, I'll be a bit pretentious, but as good as this first mentor I've got, and just keep cooking and always been there. I never really for stopping.
Yeah.
Like they've always been there, even if we've been traveling, they've always been my goal. And someone told me tomorrow you're not allowed to cook or to be in hospital for whatever reason. I'm not sure what I'm going
to
do.
Yeah. And was the goal to own your own business?
You know, yeah, always is. And especially when I travel, when I come and stay in Australia, I maybe see somewhere I could share better what I can do, where I come from, if I've got my own place. So definitely was in your life, you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And let's get on with more of the fairy tale from your sunset. When did you first come to Australia, and what was the catalyst for that? How did you end up here?
Well, once again, pretty funny. Australia was always a dream, like for me to come, to travel or something, or travel in general maybe, but Australia was on the top on the list. And my wife, my girlfriend at the time, and my wife now, was to go to Canada. So between plus 40 or minus 40, we pick Australia. And once again, always been lucky somewhere. Before we make the call, one of very good girlfriend go to Australia to meet his brother. And she said, oh, you may come with me, have a look. My brother will be there, we can help you. We've got accommodation, we will help you to find a job and everything. So just look at each other and say, oh, yes, let's go. Because we knew somewhere maybe we're gonna settle down in France and open something in France and never be able to travel. It's too far, it's too expensive, you never have time when you got your own business or something. So okay, let's go. We go for 1 year and we come back on something. 15 years later, we're still here.
What's the last, because I imagine you've got, you had come from a large family. What's the last 14, 20 months been like with your family over there? And has that been difficult with the whole restrictions and travel restrictions?
It's been very difficult, and especially because we try to go maybe the years or the months I say you not be able to, and we didn't know for how long. So we was just so ready to go, especially because we got two kids, a six and a three, and they never really been there. And we really important for us and for them to meet our parents, our family, our friend, and where we come from, to share where we come from too. And since 3 or 4 years now, we couldn't go because we still be able to communicate with family now with Facebook, FaceTime, and phone and everything. So it's maybe easier, but it's never be the same.
Yeah. When you first landed in Australia, where was that? Was it here? Was it Sydney? Was it Melbourne?
Well, it was in Perth. Okay. We start in Perth because this girlfriend we got this brother over there, and we very liked it actually. It was very good. It was very hot. It was in January 2008, so we come from winter in Europe. You're like straight in a very hot summer here, and we work in a restaurant for maybe 3 or 4 months, and 70% of the staff was French. Wasn't a French restaurant.
Why is that?
Well, it was just has to be. Just was like this. The restaurant was a little bit French influence somewhere. It wasn't fully French, but French influence for sure. So just like bring people when you don't know where to go, you may try to get some repair somewhere. So we went there, and was a good transition. Like to come from France and to be able to keep speaking French and get some help from people. Just communication was maybe easier. And after we slowly travel as a backpacker in this very old van where we work on the way, as an old backpacker.
Did you drive from Western Australia to the East Coast?
Yeah, even more. We went to Broome, Darwin.
We did the whole thing?
Yeah, we do the whole thing. Nearly, we can't say anything, but now Darwin, Alice Springs, Adelaide, Melbourne, Sydney. And after got some friends there, we go back to Alice Springs, go back to Adelaide, Melbourne, Sydney, and stop in Brisbane. And we didn't really find a job or what we were expecting to finish our trip. So we come in Noosa because we knew people was talking during our trip. Oh, you should go to Noosa, this place, very European in a way, restaurant and stuff like this. So we stopped there, and once again, very lucky in my story. I dropped my first resume at Berardo's restaurant. It closed now, unfortunately. But that gave me the chance. On a night, I've got my my trial. On a week, I've got my contract. And a month later, was this time on our visa to know what we want to do. So that offered me the possibility to do a sponsorship. So I do my sponsorship for 4 years. After I do my permanency, and now I've got my citizenship.
Wow, so Berardo's was your first place here in Noosa?
Yeah, that was my first place. And it was very hard, too. Like very European style, like hours and prep. What's people expecting, you know, from the kitchen and something. It was very good. It was very good memories. Even was very hard on the way. But what maybe make me stay and work so hard during the years was maybe this food and wine festival, what we did have at the time. So it was opportunity.
So what you're saying was what made you stay, but what you enjoyed was the food and wine festival that was associated.
Well, like part of it was maybe
the
was
gym
working. And we was working all years nearly, like not fully, but was maybe a year's process. And as a chef, was the opportunity to work with this best product in Australia. Like they all come for the festival, and especially to meet this chef. That was all outside their kitchen. Come in Noosa on a festival, so it's different attitudes than you was maybe working with them in their own restaurant. So different approach, you can talk to them, and just to see so many dishes, recipes, and opportunity open to us was very good.
Yeah.
When did you start? I've eaten here a couple of times, although I didn't come to the last wine lunch that we had here. When did you start? Your food is quite experimental in terms of matching different flavors, different consistencies, different kind of ingredients on the plate. When did that start for you?
Well, they may definitely start here, like start at Whiskey Boy when we are where we are now, to just try to do something different in Noosa, try to be outside the square, to things differently, and just to surprise people. I think people don't go out enough or as much as they used to. Restriction or just lifestyle, everybody getting busy, but you won't make this moment with it and memorable. So I try this vegetable terrin with some chorizo. I never will do it, and as I was working, I try to make some seafood and meat and dessert a little bit special. So that may be why we try to do things, but at the same time, we don't want to go too far, too crazy. People may don't really understand, so that may be why we try to do all this dinner. And to push a little bit, people will come for this whole experience.
A destination.
Yeah.
A destination and an experience, as opposed to getting the same meal every night in a particular place. How does that work with your clientele? Do you have repeat clientele?
Well, we definitely have repeated customer and a lot of local. It's hard to put some fingers in it, but maybe 60%. of our clientele will be regular, and we got some couple come every week, every day, get the same table, get the same dish, and just love it. Them, I don't want to say they make their week, but that's what they come for. And we're working here, we got this relationship with the customer, especially the guys on the front, of course, but we call them by their name. They got their table, we know what they want. Sometimes I don't even ask the menu. I just serve the special, or just serve what chef wants to serve to us. So it's good to work like this and to get this friendship, in a way, this relationship for people, just more than just a restaurant.
Where did the relationship or the focus... Well, it's not really a focus. I mean, you've served beer and wine here as well, but the association with whiskey come into it. Like, who's the whiskey lover?
Well, once again, pretty funny. Whiskey always been all on me. Like, I don't want to say favorite drinks, but maybe. And was maybe one of these presents we was offering to Dad when he was younger or something to make him happy was a whiskey.
Yeah.
Whiskey.
What kind of whiskey did you used to give him?
will be a Scotch whiskey. It's very particular. This whiskey is opening a bit more now, but always been a Scotch whiskey. But that was there. That was this present. We know we're gonna make him happy with that. Good amateur. Don't want to say professional, but definitely a good amateur. And when I was older, we were able to try and to talk about whiskey or somewhere. So that was already a little bit there in my mind somewhere. And when we opened, when we was very close to open the restaurant, we didn't have a name. We built ourselves a restaurant, or most of it, and we didn't have a name. So we tried to put some ideas around or something. And I do a little bit of pastry. So we just draw a whisk. Like a whisk to do some cream or something.
Yeah,
so
a whisk.
Just a whisk. It's essential in a kitchen. So just to put something there and see how that works. And one people come through, oh, it's a whiskey bar, cool. Yeah, for sure. And another. So they become, okay. So we was in this idea, kind of barbecue and alcohol stuff, and no whiskey bar. We won't say, okay, just we're going to push it and we're gonna do it and try treating well now.
Yeah.
I mean, I love whiskey. I love a great single malt whiskey. And I've never, I came to the pairing with Lark a little while ago. I, though, wouldn't have a whiskey with a meal. First of all, because it's hardcore, sample something with every course. But where did that, again, that idea of pairing the meals with a drink like a spirit like a whiskey come from?
Well, I want maybe once again to educate people and to show it's not just a digestive or something to start with, but it's much more than that. And the opportunity to showcase whiskey we've got here, showcase Lark, showcase Australian, or any product we got on the shell here. So once again, maybe just surprise people and have a go, and people will come for this dinner like you did and want the experience. You never will do that at home, so maybe do it in a restaurant and see how they
go. Then I got to Uber home. is the problem after?
Sorry for the hangover.
The Lark tasting was great. I thought I got to try some whiskies I'd never tried before. I'm a big fan of another Tasmanian distillery down there. I think it's called Helliers Road. Helliers Road. They have beautiful kind of single malt, 10 and 15 year old whiskey. I want to, every time I get the opportunity to talk to someone like you or a business owner that has gone through COVID in the last 18 months, I want to pick their, I usually pick their brains in terms of how you survived and what strategies you put in place to keep the business going.
Well, definitely was hard because nobody could protect it. So we just maybe play by ear. We didn't know how long it's going to last or what's going to be. It was a bit flu for everyone. But we definitely, as usual, tried to be there. Try to open. So we start to just do takeaway.
You did takeaway?
We did takeaway all the way, and we're still doing a little bit more now. But that was mainly to, I don't know, maybe just to save what we've got on the food. So we just nearly are costing price and like give it away to people, at least we don't waste our product. And a couple of days later, or maybe a week, when we saw we're still confined, we're still not able to be open. So we start to do takeaways for whatever we've got, or just order very small amounts. And we do some takeaway, very, very cheap, very interesting for people, and part of the menu. So people come here for dinner or for lunch, the new kind of food we was doing. So we try to turn this around to do takeaway. Of course,
and did that work for you?
That did work. Very slow at the start, but that progressively works more. And after, when it was able to open for these 10 people, 10 people per service we've done it. Even with these 10 people, Jimmy on the floor, me on the kitchen, we just do. We do 10 people, it's okay. At least we keep open, people still remember us or something. And maybe these 10 people five times a day, wasn't maybe what we was doing last year anyway. And people was exciting and happy to come to help us, to support us. So they were spending maybe a little bit more too than the years before. Instead, you get just one meal, they got a bottle of wine, or they got something extra takeaway, or for the day after, because we was doing that too. And after we was open for 20 and for 30, and slowly this restriction came out. That was very challenging. And just once again, just reinvent yourself. We say we never want to take away because we want people to sit here, to try the whiskey or to try gin or cocktail, things we've got here, and to keep them in a restaurant to get the whole experience. But it is what it is. So get them takeaways.
The other challenge when I talk to especially people in hospitality is staffing. Are you finding it a struggle to get people to come and work for the business?
Yeah. I don't want to say always, because well, we've been lucky and we did have some very, very good staff. We're okay, I want to say, for the moment. And I may take the chance to talk about Marcus. Marcus Denby works for me. It's older than me.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah. I've actually had Marcus on the podcast.
Yeah, no.
When he was still at Woodfire Grill.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm
very... Tell me about Marcus in the kitchen.
Yeah. So he friend of friend, all OSPO, we all know each other. He knew Jimmy a little bit more than me at the time. But he's always been on. And not competition, but we was both doing steak, but we didn't know each other. And one day when he's staff, he said, oh, okay, I can help you to do one or two shifts. And slowly this relationship starts and is now full time with me. And I'm very lucky to have him because he got way more experience than me. Different style.
Tell me what he brings to the kitchen. Tell me what.
Well, now will be all this experience in general, and we may don't have the same idea, but I'm able to say, okay, we may gonna do a new dish, we're gonna start with this product and this one, and he got the ability to put them together and to create something, and we come a few times on the same dish and to create this. So it's a very good support there, and no pretentious, and always there, and he's great guy.
What's the goal? Do you set strategic goals for the business, for growth? What's the goal, let's say, over the next 12 to 18 months?
Well, we survived to COVID, so first, like that was maybe our goal at the start, and try to get some baby step. We always been be careful on the business, like to changing things, but not too much. We built this deck where we're sitting up now. Yeah. Wasn't here before, so we lose maybe 16 cover inside, but we open for 24 outside. Maybe more bar oriented, but you can still have your full meal there. So that was the first strategy 2 years ago now, and just get ready for summer. Summer we'll be in a corner. So hopefully we'll be big. So yeah, we see, and maybe just survive all years too. New size anyway, even without COVID, is very up and down. So it's very busy Christmas, Easter on the time, but all years on, you still have to be here. So reinvent yourself, doing this function, look after your locals. That's our key. So
any plans to head back to France, and what's that challenge like being away from the rest of your family in France?
Well, definitely hard, like to be part for so long now. I think we'll say like nearly 4 years. So we definitely want to go back, and it's been 14, 15 years we're in a country now. So somewhere you create your own family here. You got kids and wife, of course, but you got your very close friend, become your family. And I've got my goddaughter here. She's Australian, but from French parents. And it's how, you know, we create your family, and we celebrate Christmas or birthday of each other together. So it's very important for us to get this family again, in a way.
Yeah. Would you ever consider opening or running your own restaurant in France?
No, I'm going to stay here. No, I don't think I'm going to open anything in France. We never know, I guess. We never know, but we settled down here, and we in Noosa, and for me, from young age, come to Australia and now find Noosa. That was very the town of this philosophy and idea of you got on Australia. Go surfing on the morning and the weather, everything. I like quite peaceful. We're not very silly people. Like we like a little background or something.
So. I'm always interested in people that come to Australia. And I know they're different generations, but I've spoken to people. Like my dad came out in 1952. That generation, once they came to Australia, they had no interest in going back to Italy or back to Europe. Is it the same now for this kind of two generations afterwards?
Yeah.
Is that desire then to commit totally to living and working in Australia and building a life here, and kind of there's not a lot of interest in going back to France?
Yeah, I think my parents will hate if they listen to this podcast, but yeah, I don't think we're going to go back to live, to settle down back in France. We definitely want to go back on holiday, to introduce all our family to our kids. But yeah, no, I don't think we're going to go back. We find a paradise here.
Jeff, tell me about what's her name, your wife's name?
Jennifer.
Jennifer. Now, she's been a big supporter of you and the business. She runs her own business as well, which is not always easy. So tell me how that dynamic works with you and Jennifer.
Well, I was lucky enough to meet her when I was very young too, in this restaurant when we started together. And always been in hospitality as well. For her side, I think that was help. We could share the same passion and working the same hours or opening and working on holiday, working on Christmas, so we have our life on the side. So maybe lucky somewhere to have her to get the same job for me and understand how hospitality works. And all the way, she was my best support. She was there. She was my hall, you know, my retaining hall when we opened the restaurant. And the worst part, she was pregnant. We opened the restaurant and a month later we had our first son. So. But even with that, she always been there, and like, I'm very, very grateful for that. Maybe we're going to keep this one. We can record this one. that will save a marriage.
Well, I can imagine, you know, I know what it's like having Deb work, you know, 100 hours and big hours trying to get, you know, the magazine together. And having kids as well is also extra pressure on that as well. Let's talk about your business partner, Jimmy. How did he come into the equation? How did you two get together?
Well, it's funny because at the start, we didn't know each other. We met so in Noosa because Ospo or something, but that was a third business partner when we start. Introduce and put us together. Okay, put Jimmy on the floor, put me on the kitchen, have a chat, get some ideas and put things together. And I think after years and a half, or a bit more, Jimmy and I bought this business partner off. So now it's just two of us. And I think things working between us because we're so different. He's a bit older than me, got more experience, he does the floor.
Where did Jimmy come from?
New source, well, I don't want to say anything crazy, but maybe Byron.
Oh, he came from Byron.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And same, he come in Noosa years and years ago and just decide to stay now. And we're working very well together. And he got this, I don't want to say a showman, would be maybe too much for him, but he's very confident with customer and creates this relationship. And same idea as me as business owner to do it. Okay, it's the last table, we close at 9 o'clock or doesn't matter, we're going to do it. Okay, we're still serving and always be there, be on a shift and be present. So once again, I think somewhere I'm very lucky and grateful to have him, so that's cool.
Yeah.
But don't tell him, please.
It's very important to have a charismatic front of house person. I mean, I've got friends who run restaurants in Melbourne, etc., and they've got to have that extra... part, yeah, that personality,
a,
have that.
Personality,
you're right, a bit of show,
attitude, showman,
a bit of showman
yeah. Somewhere. So, no, it's cool. And he's passionate with whiskey too. Same when we open, we say we do whiskey bar, okay? So, you have to do some research as well because you got the basic, I guess. As a manager of another restaurant, you got all the basic, but maybe not as much to call ourselves a whiskey bar.
Yeah.
Was lucky too to get all these bartenders we've got. Like we've got a very strong team, very passionate too, so we're very grateful for that. You can't do everything on your own. Like it's maybe a small business, but we need all our staff, so and we're very lucky to get them.
And what about a future for the food that you're preparing and the food that you want to continue to create and serve here at Whiskey Boy?
We definitely have our classic. I want to always put a little bit of French twist somewhere. So we've got our pâté, we've got maybe this technique, you know, this French technique of leftover of my fine dining experience. We've got to put this menu together. We've been recognized by people as a grill. So we say, okay, just push it and get this grill selection, all this steak, and just try to get the best as possible and to get a decent serve as well, not just a steak, and you have to buy your side, you have to buy your own side. That all come together, and maybe not very good for a business point of view, but I want people left happy, don't want anything else, and even don't have enough space to have a dessert or get a dessert takeaway. So that's where we are, and maybe even keep pushing what we're doing. We're talking about steak, the next plan, maybe to get an edge room, to edge our own meat.
Yeah. And, Who's your meat supplier? Does it change?
We change quite a bit. Not quite a bit, but we got our regular, but we got maybe four or five different suppliers, and we pick the best products to everyone. So that change all the time.
Yeah, well, Marcus has had a lot of experience on a grill, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Throwing a good piece of steak on there.
Yeah, yeah, you know how to cook a steak too, trust me. But our signature dish here too will be maybe this tomahawk steak.
Oh, yeah.
So we got like this.
I'm scared to barbecue those at home. No.
Don't scare. Now we've got this rib fillet on the bone, and we got the whole rack when we clean and portion themselves. So they all come different size, and we send them per weight. And maybe become a challenge for people. They got a 1 kilo come back the next day. I want a 1.1 kilo and come back and getting like crazy amounts of meat.
Is there anywhere else in Noosa where you've got like a room where you age the meat and people go and look at it? I don't think there is. Is there in any other place?
Not as a restaurant, but you can buy.
Is that
some,
what you want to do?
Yeah, that's what I want to do in a restaurant.
Select
so
their
you
own.
Want like a display, yeah. And you can pick their own meat and just try to do something different. And if you want to be recognized as a grill, just push it.
Yeah. All the best, Jeff. I really appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Whiskey Boys, Geoffroy Marc was my guest today on today's episode of Everyone Has a Story. If you enjoyed the interview, please feel free to leave us a review and rate today's episode. Rate the podcast on Apple Podcasts, on Wooshka, on Stitcher, and share the podcast today's episode on your social media platforms. Until next time, take care.